Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, happy Memorial Day.
Right back at you.
And the Master Gardeners are hard at work out at Artovino's Desert Crossing on this very first day of the Farmer's Market.
It's just certainly like the first of the season, like the summer's here, right? People are just excited. I think we've had an interesting spring.
Yeah, definitely.
Leading up to this time. So we hope, you know, we have good weather. We hope those monsoons kick in and give us some well-needed precipitation, but I think people are just ready to go outside. It's the Sun City. We need to be outside.
Yeah. So. You know, mosquito season hit really early, too.
Yes, definitely.
Crazy. So if you are going to be going out gardening, you know, make sure you cover up, get your bug spray, whatever precautions you can take, because I predict it's going to be an ugly summer as far as mosquitoes go.
Yes. And dusk and dawn are when those guys show up the most.
So. Though they will find me 24 hours
yeah,
a day.
For some,
I'm super tasty.
Oh, yeah.
So we were talking last week about container gardening, and in case you didn't get a chance to hear last week's show, we were talking about, you know, choosing the right container and picking out the soil that you're going to be using for the containers and what to do with your plant, maybe if it's a little root bound, before you put it in the container. And in case you missed that show, it's in the archives at ktep.org, but we're sort of going to continue along the conversation of container gardening. So we have the plant now in our pot. Now we got to think about irrigating it. And depending, I guess, on the weather, maybe even what kind of plant you are, you're going to either water it more or less. And I know, like, for example, if you choose to put a tomato plant in a container, you're probably going to be watering that every single day.
Right, exactly. I mean, those plants get really big even in a confined area. So you definitely want to make sure that you keep those really close by, really handy, near your area where you're going to be able to see them and walk by them to be able to check on them, because it's not going to be one thing that you kind of like more or less can know, you know, how much water they're using, like you would irrigate a turf or, you know, a large tree that you have in your backyard. You really need to keep a close eye on that. So keep the watering can close and the pots even closer to you. But the one thing that you want to make sure that you look at is always kind of dig around in the soil and kind of look and gauge the plant itself and see if it's time to water. And when that top inch or so of that soil is dry, then you want to make sure that you give it another drink of water. And don't let the pot, you know, sit in water. If you have it with a saucer under the drain hole, don't let that standing water sit there and collect. That's going to be detrimental to the roots. And then it's also going to invite critters such as fungus gnats to come in and kind of feast on that organic matter. So give it a nice drink, let that container saturate, and then let it drain, the excess drain away.
And one other issue with watering is that, you want to use your finger to make sure that the soil is dry, the soil is wet. And also some plants give you sort of a visual indication that they need water. For example, I know some tomato plants and some other ornamental plants, their leaves will begin to sort of wilt down a little bit if they start needing that drink.
Right, exactly. And, you know, a lot of plants do have midday or a late afternoon wilt. And that's just part of it. You know, they're trying to conserve further water loss on that. So, you know, when they start wilting, you want to make sure you give them a heads up and give them some water. If you're seeing daytime wilting or early morning wilting, I should say, then you're in trouble.
Oh.
What happens, the plant is going towards what we call the permanent wilting point of the plant, and it more than likely is not going to bounce back or recover as quickly or even at all. So keep an eye on that. So early morning, we don't want any wilting to happen.
I know there's an ideal time to water our landscape plants, but what about our patio plants, our container plants? Do we have an ideal time to water as well, or can we just water any time of the day?
Any time during the day is fine. I don't believe that our water ordinance kind of restricts us from watering container plants. They're looking at more in-ground plants. So any time of the day, keep in mind that if you're watering a plant and you have, you know, very dry conditions and hot conditions, a lot of it's going to start getting lost to evaporation. So you want to make sure that that water kind of stays and gives it to the plant itself. But anytime that you're out there, anytime, you know, we're out there in our patios a lot, early morning, if not late into the evening time.
Okay, so we've watered our plants. Now we're probably going to need to fertilize. And I think container plants will probably need fertilization a little bit more than the plants we have out on our landscape, right?
Right, exactly. So you, these plants are really grown in greenhouse settings for, you know, high value, large blooms, really, you know, vibrant foliage, whatever you're looking for. So they're going to need some fertilizer. And the best thing to be able to do is to get the water soluble fertilizer. And that's usually a light little blue or green crystal form. And it comes and you have to dilute that in a gallon of water, depending on what the container directions say, and then use that as your irrigation water. So what I would do is substitute a plain water with your fertilizer instead. And then that way you're able to water and fertilize at the same time. And then you don't want to do that every time, but depending on what your plant is looking for, you know, maybe once every three waterings, if you're seeing that the plant is growing and or looking kind of yellowish, like it's hungry, then you want to increase that. But, you know, once every three to four waterings, give it some fertilizer, and that should be able to extend it all throughout the season.
So going back to, I guess, container sizes, I think this we talked about this last week, I did bring up tomatoes. And mm-hmm. tomatoes, like you were saying, they grow very, very rapidly, and they can get very, very large. So maybe somebody bought a tomato back in March, mm-hmm. and they put it in a container. That container perhaps might be a little too small if they didn't think ahead as to maybe the amount of growth that that plant was going to go into. So if you maybe have a tomato in a container and that tomato plant is starting to grow out very largely, mm-hmm. should they think about transplanting it?
Well, I think it really depends. I don't really think that once a tomato is established, you would want to transplant that mm-hmm. up within the one season. I would just let it go, keeping in mind that you're going to have a reduction in yield. Mm-hmm. You may not get as many tomatoes or as big as tomatoes as you'd like. But for future reference, think about no smaller than a 5-gallon bucket size container. You think of that volume when you're purchasing the container for your tomato plants, if you will. But yeah, I think at this point we'd be, you know, we'd give the plant too much shock and really set it back as it's trying to develop fruit. So I would certainly not recommend transplanting that right now.
So also with dealing with container size, let's say maybe you kind of have a largish pot, maybe about 3 or 4 feet across, but you maybe have just a tiny little plant that you want to put in there. I mean, is it wise, even though maybe that plant may grow larger here in a couple of years, is it wise to put that little plant in a large pot, or do you recommend maybe starting off in a smaller pot and then sort of increasing the size as that plant grows?
Well, I think what you would do is look at an increase in the size of the pot as it grows. So look at the original pot that it comes in there and don't upsize it more than two sizes bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So essentially, you don't want to move it from a little microscopic apartment to a large mansion. So, you know, kind of have those stepwise increases. And the good thing about that is that you're able to buy more pots and add those more to your collection and bring in other plants into your patio garden. So, yeah, little by little, step by step.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the different types of fertilizer that are out there for the different types of container plants that we have. Because, you know, so many plants we can grow in containers, from ornamental to vegetables to even small trees in large pots. But we're looking at the types of fertilizer. You were talking about the quick-release fertilizer.
Right.
Would a slow-release fertilizer, those ones that come more in granules, be good?
So the ones that you're talking about, you know, flowers and annuals and vegetables, these are what we consider annual plants, meaning they're going to finish their life cycle within 1 year. And what happens is a lot of times those slow-release fertilizers are not going to break down fast enough to supply the nutrients to the plant as they need it, which is why we recommend the quick-release of the water-soluble fertilizers for those annual container beds. If you're looking at a long-term, then I would say do a long-term in your raised bed garden, then you would do the long-term fertilizer on that. But for your containers, you want to get that water-soluble, that really quick fix of nutrients right to the plants right when they need it.
Well, bugs are always a big issue. There are beneficial bugs and there are bugs that are not so beneficial. And those are the ones that we usually have to contend with that are eating up our favorite plants or vegetables. So I know that at one point when I had, well, I still have geraniums, but there was this one unusual year where I saw my geranium leaves starting to just gradually disappear. Oh. And I would see towards the bottom of the plant on the floor, I would see these tiny little black, they almost look like tiny little BBs. Yes. And it turns out they were caterpillar droppings. I have had issues with caterpillars eating Texas mountain laurels, but I'd never had issues with caterpillars eating my geranium. So, and they are sometimes just so unbelievably small that you can't even see them. Right. So if perhaps people have issues with those types of caterpillars, what's a good way to control those?
So the one thing you want to do is, you know, always look at whether you're going to have in your container garden plants that are edible or non-edible. The ones that are edible, you want to make sure that you're super safe with them. You don't want to make, you want to practice this IPM to, you know, which is just applying chemicals as a last resort. With the edibles, you want to make sure that you scout. So you're like what you're doing, you're noticing the leaves and then what's surrounding the mm-hmm. container so you can start to identify what's going on. So you identify the culprit and then you try to remediate that as gentle as possible for everybody involved. And that could be a quick spray of soapy water. You can use neem oil extract. That is, neem oil is certified for organic practices. And that's a diluted material that you would put into a spray gallon. And, you know, just be able to scout and wash away. And don't be afraid to, like, hose down the plant sometimes. You know, sometimes we get a lot of, like, dust accumulation yeah. on our leaves because, you know, it's dusty here, right? So don't be afraid to kind of wash that off because that's also going to help push away some of those insects. And don't forget to get underside of those leaves. But if you're looking for ornamental plants that you're not going to eat at all, then there's also, you know, things that you can do to be able to scout, look for those kind of the culprit. And then eventually you can also put some chemicals on there if you needed to. There's a lot of things that you can put for long-term protection. It's going to be more systemic things that you can also add to the soil. But the first thing to do is to identify what the culprit is and then be able to see what that damage is and if you can live with it. If not, then we have to look at the chemical controls.
Do carpenter bees do damage to a lot of container plants?
Well, it depends because they do sometimes like roses, and roses are another great container yeah. plant too. And you'll kind of see those, you know, half circle mm-hmm. leaves being cut out. Kind of looks like a little hole puncher kind of went into your garden. But those are just using that material for nesting. It looks unsightly for a while, but the plants will recover and they'll put on new leaves and kind of cover up that old kind of damage.
Yeah, so try not to spray any type of poison because we need those bees.
Yes, we do need to. We need to protect our wildlife in all shapes and forms as well. And, you know, our entomologist tells that no more than 3-5% of all insects are damaging or poisonous. So those other 95% of them are beneficials.
So aphids, I know, are another huge pest that we see pretty frequently eating up a lot of or sucking all the juices out of our plants, I should say. So a good control for aphids?
You got to look for them. They love to congregate and live under the leaves. So you have to really look for them first. And then if you start seeing ladybugs in your garden, that's a good thing because they're actually eating the aphids as well. But those guys do really well with a nice little soapy water spray to kind of wash them off and just kind of scrape them off the leaves in the bottom. I mean, they're just pesky.
Yeah, and then they're going to leave your hands kind of sticky, but it feels okay. good. It feels good to get rid of those stupid aphids.
Right.
Well, we're out of time, but if you have any questions about container gardening or about spring gardening or any other plant question you might have for the Master Gardeners, give them a call at 771-2354, 771-2354. We also have links to the Master Gardeners website, Facebook, email, on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Thanks to Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.